This one toward the end zone. Keenan Allen, touchdown Chargers. And Los Angeles retakes the lead.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
What's Keenan Allen doing on this radio show? He does not suck. In fact, he's terrific. In fact, it's amazing. As amazing as it was that DJ Moore was here last year, Keenan Allen's here this year. So this looks like a Pro Bowl game, only it counts. It matters. Let's go to the guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. And we welcome back to the show Hub Arkush, executive editor, Pro Football Weekly, sideline reporter for Westwood One, NFL insider for The Score, this very radio station. This is starting to collect great players, it looks like, Hub. This looks like a nice job in the offseason. And so we have Pro Bowl wide receivers here. We have those that quality here. What's your take on the Keenan Allen trade and where it leaves the Bears?
Well, it's certainly really interesting and exciting. I mean, you've got a future Hall of Famer, you know, that you just got for a fourth-round draft choice. It's interesting the way this offseason is developing because right now they have those two great picks in the first round and they have the third-round pick. But other than that, they've only got four draft choices. And, you know, it just keeps getting more and more interesting to me what they're going to do with that number one overall pick. But as far as getting Keenan Allen, you know, at 32, you worry a little bit, but that's not old. I mean, especially, you know, for the great wide receivers who play into their mid and late 30s. And really, it's for this year to help develop a new quarterback. I think that, you know, we can assume that. You know, I think people are going way too far deciding that they've already know who Beck is going to be because the Bears don't. But they will, you know, and Caleb Williams is the best, and it makes sense. I understand all that. But I don't think that they're any closer to drafting him than they were, you know, when we first talked about this 3, 4, 5 weeks ago.
Hub Arkush is my guest, NFL insider for The Score. So is that a matter, if they're not any closer to making the decision on Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels, is that simply a matter of legwork, backwork, investigative work in a lot more hours and weeks of information to be gathered, interviews to be done, pro days that are coming up in the next week and a half or so? Is that why?
Yeah, that's all there is to it. I mean, it's just there's been so much overreaction to this since the middle of last season when it began to look like, you know, these are going to be really important picks. Bottom line, they haven't had their private meeting with him yet. They haven't had their physical with him yet. He didn't work out at the combine. He's going to do that at his pro day. They just still have all their homework to do. That's all. They've got more to learn. And there's nothing negative here, you know, in saying that they haven't decided yet. There's no problems that anybody's aware of. They just got to do the job, you know. And I think the thing, you know, Steve, the thing that keeps sticking with me is they did so good by trading that pick last year, and they got much better. Look what happened the second half of the season. They can probably get more for that pick this year, you know, and assuming that you know, Caleb Williams is better than the 3 or 4 or 5 top prospects that they can get by trading that pick before, you know, you just can't do that. So I think that, you know, Poles and Flus, they're doing their jobs. And, you know, but this trade is interesting because what they know, I think what they have known for a while now is that the future is not Justin Fields at quarterback. And so what they've done is they've gone out and gotten a Hall of Fame wide receiver to play with another Pro Bowl wide receiver. They're probably still going to draft one, if not in the first round, certainly in the third round. And, you know, they're just getting a lot better talent to put on the roster and not focusing on one position.
Hub Arkush is my guest, NFL insider for The Score. We're talking Bears and Keenan Allen came across great in his press conference. He was matter of fact, he was open, transparent. Yeah, I had my best year. I'm not redoing my contract. No, that wasn't going to happen. And he had said on locker cleanout day, it's not a place I want to go. I've had a good career. We're done. We're calling it that. And yeah, me and DJ, and they got a really good tight end, and they just brought in somebody else, meaning Everett, a guy he played with before. And he seems, when he starts talking football, he starts talking X's and O's and deploying personnel and what makes him so good, why he would be a help to any quarterback, especially on third down. It was refreshing. It was a pleasure to hear that. Not that other players don't do that, but I thought it was great. And your impressions of Keenan Allen were?
Well, again, future Hall of Famer, 10,000 yards receiving. Uh-huh. I mean, what more can you ask for? I think the issue is that last year, Jackson, 32 years old, and why do what looks like this one-year thing when you don't know what else you're doing here? But the answer is that they continue to add parts. The offense is going to be a lot better this year, even if Justin Fields is still the starting quarterback, because now they've got a lot more talent to work with. And I don't think that Justin Fields is going to ever be a franchise quarter. I do think they need to get another quarterback. But now just continues to make the improvement.
All right, Hub, Hub's having transmission problems, and me and Hub and technology at our advanced age, and we're going to try to get him back and see what we can do about that. I want to continue this discussion because there was that phrase there, even if Justin Fields is still the quarterback. We were discussing recently, could they even be in the same building if it's Caleb Williams or your drafted quarterback's name and Justin Fields? Could they even be there? Let's go back to Hub. Let's go back to your statement. Even if Justin Fields is the quarterback, you think that's a realistic possibility?
No. I'm just saying that everything's on the table, but I think it was more why it makes sense to go get a Hall of Fame wide receiver right now instead of waiting another year. I think that Justin will be with another team this year. And I think that makes sense. I think what's really kind of mind-boggling, though, is that what they can get in return has dropped so significantly since the combine, because nothing happened with him at the combine, to make him worth less. So that's been a little surprising to me. They were never going to get a first round pick, but I did think there was a good chance they could get a second, maybe a second and a fourth, something like that. And what we're hearing now is that we're not sure that anybody wants to give up anything right now. So what is interesting, though, is that what I've been saying, Steve, since the start of last season, is that I just don't see a franchise quarterback there. And what we're now finding out is that most of the NFL doesn't see that either, or at least they're not willing to pay for it. And it'll be interesting to see, how this continues to develop and change over the next few weeks.
So do you think Justin Fields shows up and the next offseason team activity, whatever is mandatory for them, do you think he shows up? He's still QB1. They haven't drafted anybody yet.
Yeah, I mean, they've got to get somebody first before they can get rid of him. I mean, it isn't going to be Tyson Bagent, not that it shouldn't be. I'm not knocking him, but, I mean, he certainly hasn't shown enough to suggest that he's the future as a franchise quarterback. And the fact that they just added another body, what's going on around the league right now is everybody is worried about backups. I think a lot of it is the quarterback injuries that happened last year. You look at the impact it had on teams in the playoffs and teams in this. And so there's been more focus on getting a quality number two than there really has been in finding our number one so far. But again, that's because not all 32 teams, but a lot of the 32 teams, like the Bears, are still doing all of their homework on all four, five, or six quarterbacks who could be first-round picks.
Hub Arkus is my guest, NFL insider for The Score. We're talking Bears and Score and quarterbacks. And to your point about the haul Ryan Poles got last year for the first overall pick, thank you, Lovie Smith, and still thank you, Lovie Smith, the Bears' return for the number one pick became Darnell Wright, Keenan Allen now, Tyreek Stevenson, DJ Moore was part of the original deal. First overall pick this year, which we're debating. And the second round pick, Carolina's second round pick in 2025. Mm-hmm. And that's where we are now. Does the haul for the first, and you are saying the first overall draft pick this year could be better than that?
Well, I think you can get more for it depending on the other team you're trading with, because, again, Caleb Williams. I mean, last year obviously was a pretty bad idea to trade for Bryce Young, but I mean, it's when I say get more, they're going to get as much, probably a little bit more. It depends on who they trade with. You know, the Commanders really want Williams. So to go from 1 to 2, you're not going to get more than you got for going to 1 to 9 last year. But there is a good chance, depending on what trade is available, that they will get as much or more. And when you look at where the team is at, you know, there are no guarantees on Caleb Williams. You know, my concerns about Caleb Williams are more what we don't know about the off-the-field stuff and on-the-field stuff. And I'm not suggesting that I've heard anything is wrong with Caleb Williams. I don't want to say anything negative about him. But what we know is that his dad, his parents, have been trying to run his career for 3 or 4 years already, and it doesn't start until this year. And there's just there's too much extra there that worries me about, you know, what he can be as a teammate, as a team member. And I'm not saying that I should be worried. I'm not saying there's anything wrong. But with all this crazy stuff we keep hearing about wanting to rework, you know, they want contract levels and they want to rework the rules and this and that. Because they shouldn't be focused on that. They should be focused on their son ending up and getting the most money he can to be a great football player. So, you know, those are the things that I think the Bears have to continue to study and see if there is an issue there or not.
Well, if they trade that pick, let's go down there. They trade that pick, and I know it depends who and where. And the way I think it's going to look bad or won't look as good as last year's, because you won't find, I don't know that there's a bigger idiot in the league than David Tepper, a more a helpful idiot, a useful idiot, as we've heard the term. I think he was a very useful idiot because of the way the Panthers sucked and everything they gave up and everything that went wrong and everything, every choice that was made. So it's unlikely in a team not being run by Ryan Pace that you're going to end up sucking like that. So if you, let's say you get 3 first round picks instead of DJ Moore, was, you didn't get a first round pick because DJ Moore was that guy, represented that in the third year. Then, and you got a second round pick. Those first round picks are probably going to drop further than, you won't have the advantage of back to back first round picks. So it could look worse. But you're willing to live with that if that's the way it plays out. If it's the Bears' own first-round pick, and let's say it's 13 and 15 next year, but they're both first-round picks, and you have another team's first-round picks in 2 years after that, that is a quality haul for you, and you're going to stick with who? Justin Fields, who you said is not a franchise quarterback, hasn't shown that?
Well, you know, again, now we're moving from, you know, just what I'm hearing from sources around the league and my opinions to what I would do, which are two different things. I have studied a lot of tape at this point, and not only am I not that Caleb Williams is a prospect quarterback in this draft, I don't think he is. There's another quarterback who I think is going to be a better NFL quarterback, and there may even be 2 or 3. And again, that's because I'm in the same place as everybody else, finishing doing our homework these next couple of weeks. But mm-hmm. What I would do is I would trade that pick just like I did last year. And somewhere around, you know, as long as I stay top 10 to top 12, I'm pretty sure, not anymore. It's changed the last couple of days. But I think that I can still get the quarterback that I want more than Williams and get all those extra picks. And we look at all the talent they've already added last year and now can add again this year. I think that they could be this year's Houston Texans.
Well, Houston Texans were last year's Houston Texans because they had the right quarterback. They didn't have Bryce Allen. Mm-hmm. They had the right quarterback. And then they'd have to make the Bears would have to make that decision, ideally make a trade where you could still take one of the quarterbacks or take the quarterback that I guess this is the kind of guessing game and discussion that's going to have to keep us going until April 25th. Do we have the strength to do it, Hub?
I think so. The difference between this year and last year, though, is that there were 3 quarterbacks that nobody could agree on. You know, everybody liked some things. There is no question that Caleb Williams is the number one prospect this year. So that's what makes trading the pick, you know, a little, I suppose, riskier, you know, if you're worried about it and you know, uncertain if you're going to get for it. But there's no question that you're going to get a haul if you do it. And there's enough talent with these 4 or 5 quarterbacks in the first round that I just think you're better off, you know, fixing your whole team as opposed to fixing one position.
Hub, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Look forward to our visits every Saturday. You take care. Thank you.
You too, Steve. Take care.
Hub Arkush, NFL insider, executive editor of Pro Football Weekly, and sideline reporter for Westwood One. Take a break. When we come back, we're going to take a breath from football, and we're going to talk about Sammy Sosa. You know, he's got a history of lying, history of being a fraud, history of not fessing up to anything or everything, and now he sort of says, yeah, I made mistakes, but he refuses to list the mistakes, which is a mistake. But because Sammy think, why does Sammy think he can get away with this? We will discuss that, what he said, and who else we should blame about his trying to get back with the Cubs. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Are you telling me that you recognize the fact that maybe you did do steroids? This is, like I say, this is not a question that I expected from you.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Luke Kanellis diplomatically asking the question because Sammy opened the door. I'm here. I made mistakes. Yes, I want to be back with the Cubs. I want all great things that are due to me. That's kind of his attitude. And Lou says, so are you telling me that you admit that you did steroids? And you heard Sammy both hem and haw, and I didn't expect that question. Because then he'd have to accept specific responsibility. And Sammy doesn't do that. Sammy's not used to being told he's wrong or having to admit that he's wrong, having to take on the responsibility of honesty. That's not Sammy. That's not Sammy Sosa. He did the interview with Lou. You can tell it's not a question I expected to be you would ask me, because he expected to be thrown softballs. That's what Sammy does. Sammy is acts entitled and spoiled and look at my numbers and it doesn't matter how I got there. Pay no attention to my head growth behind the curtain. It can only be accomplished by steroids. Lou did a good job. Lou Kanellis, Fox 32, did a really good job asking that question. So is that what you're saying? And apparently it was, because Sammy wouldn't answer the question. If the answer is no, he would say no. No, I didn't do steroids. But Sammy's caught in a position where he wants to get back with the Cubs. The Cubs and Tom Ricketts specifically have said Sammy knows he has to come back and admit some things. Tom Ricketts didn't say what they were. Sammy says, okay, I admit I did wrong. But Sammy's not admitting what he did wrong. So Sammy's got a history, we've seen it, cheating and lying. You know, he cheated with a cork bat. His body type would tell you he cheated with steroids. You can lift all the weight you want, but it doesn't make your head bigger. Sammy's head got bigger, much like Barry Bonds' head got bigger. Mark McGwire admitted, yeah, I did this. Mark McGwire's had jobs in baseball with the Cardinals. Now with the Cubs, by the way, where his son plays. Sammy doesn't admit anything. And we know that he has lied by saying the Cubs destroyed me and they ruined me, they wrecked me, because, well, what happens is Sammy left early on the last day of the season and the Cubs released a videotape, says, yeah, he did. And after Sammy had said, no, I didn't, I stuck around, I asked the manager, and no, here's videotape and it's time stamped, Sammy lied. So he's got the history of being a liar, cheat, and being able to get away with it, acting entitled. Him and his Flintstone vitamins. Yuck, yuck, yuck. Well, two things. The first is blame the Cubs. The Cubs enabled him. For those of you who weren't around then, who don't know the players involved, meaning the suits involved, Annie McPhail, Ed Lynch, the manager, the They enabled Sammy. They made Sammy Sosa bulletproof because they covered his backside. There are stories about how when he was caught cheating with a broken back and broken bat, and there's the cork sticking out, and Sammy's going to get suspended, and people rushing down to the, and Major League Baseball wanted them to rush down to the clubhouse. Let's get all those bats out. Don't let them x-ray any of the other bats. See if they're there. Sammy was losing his swing. He was slow. He was coming back and injured, and he wasn't Sammy Sosa. And so cork bats, the ball flies farther. The bat flies faster. We got to cheat to do this. The Cubs built that monster. The Cubs enabled that Frankenstein. If the Cubs had enforced any kind of discipline, I don't know if you would have seen all that you saw, but you saw all that you saw because the Cubs said, it's okay, we'll cover you. Sammy never had to apologize for anything. Sammy never had to take responsibility for playing stupid, bad baseball. He had to suffer a suspension that could have been a lot worse for the cork bat. He certainly never had to admit that he did steroids. The Cubs enabled that. The Cubs boosted him to do that. Mark Grace was cast off from the Cubs because the Cubs made a decision that they had to turn the locker room over to Sammy, the dressing room over to Sammy. And they did by getting Mark Grace out of there. And then Mark Grace went to Arizona and started the game-winning, World Series-winning rally. And by the way, the current Cubs manager was one who scored that winning run on Luis Gonzalez's fisted ball off Mariano Rivera. But Grace started the rally, and Craig Counsell scored the World Series-winning run in two different World Series for two different teams. That there is a thing. So anyways, Mark Grace represented a certain part of the 98 Cubs with the likes of, like, Rod Beck famously said, I mean, look, if you're the Cubs, you go, well, I don't know. If you're the Cubs ownership now, rightfully you say it wasn't us. We didn't do that. We want our demands, our expectations, our choices for Sammy to do this. And Sammy should be able to say, I want you on behalf of the organization, the team you bought. If you bought this team and you bought this stadium, you bought the history. You also bought, you don't get just the glory, you should buy some of the blame. And I don't know what Tom Ricketts, the Ricketts family, or what, I don't even know what it would mean. I guess I have to play it out. Is it really a bad look? Sammy says, yeah, I did steroids. And Tom Rick says, on behalf of the Cubs, it appears the organization enabled that, did not police it the way it should have. And at the time, if you're the Cubs now, you could say, look, there were drug tests that were given. He never failed the drug test. He was in some list as somebody who reportedly failed a drug test. The reason there was suddenly drug testing in baseball. But it would seem fair to me, what my knowledge of the history of this, the history is of the Sammy Sosa story, he's not totally to blame. The team should accept as much responsibility as Sammy. They may not have injected the steroids, but they certainly weren't policing it. They certainly were making sure that he felt okay doing it. And let's all destroy a boombox in celebration of that. Okay. And Major League Baseball, too. And was it Nike? I can't remember if it was the Chicks Dig the Long Ball, right? Glavin and Maddox doing the commercial. Why do I keep wanting to say that was a Nike commercial? Chicks Dig the Long Ball.
It was Nike.
Major League Baseball, certainly, Bud Selig is caught. Bud Selig had to know what was going on and had to make sure nobody else knew, right? Because baseball had killed itself, shot itself in the foot with hawks like the chairman of the Chicago Welfare Sox. And they're coming back to play a game after lockout and protracted CBA negotiations. They come back and they're still struggling to get fans back. We had a glorious moment between return to baseball in 95 and the great steroid home run summer of McGuire and Sosa. And that was Cal Ripken. It was an honest moment. He came to work every day. I remember sitting with my kids on the couch. Say, you're going to watch this. We're going to watch this together. And it gets to the fifth inning. And for all I know, his victory lap is still going on. He came to work every day, longer than anybody else in baseball history. Once that game went five innings, that was it. But it wasn't enough to bring back baseball. Ah, but chicks dig the long ball. All the home runs. Everybody juice up. Until we get caught, let's do this. It's not illegal unless we get caught. So Major League Baseball is complicit. The Cubs are complicit. They got to admit it too. If they're going to ask Sosa to admit it, everybody comes and you free yourself of all of these lies you've been holding, of all of the, you confess and let yourself be free and liberated. All right, that's it. I heard in the last 24 hours with the question that Lou asked Jared Payton, we tried to reach him. He was unavailable to come on today. He had a long sit down with Sammy, and you know, the only thing Sammy's going to say is, I made mistakes. Okay, I admitted that. Okay, now, make me a Cub again. Let me bathe in the glory and the applause and the clamoring for my presence, the Sammy Sosa petting zoo. But it frustrated me, and it was exacerbated by some of the discussion. There's another part of this. And when the Cubs say we're having no discussion with them, well, guess what? You bought the Cubs, you bought the history, you bought the fact that you enabled, you built this monster. All right, take a break. When we come back, who's going to throw the ball to Keenan Allen? And so far, it looks like nobody close to the guy who used to throw the ball to Keenan Allen. We'll take a look at that next. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Chicks dig the long ball.
If the Bears were to draft a young quarterback, how does your game help a young quarterback or being quarterback friendly in general?
I think I'm just a friendly guy, you know. I'm a friendly guy on and off the field. Obviously on the football field, I know the game. I know the ins and outs. I know the zones. I know, you know, how to be man. I know pretty much how to play the game. So I just think I'm friendly for the quarterback because I'll be in the right spots. I know how to communicate with him. And my body language is solid, too.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
I'm Steve Rosenblum. That was Keenan Allen. You know what I think? We may bring you back his entire press conference, his opening press conference. Really impressive. You should hear it. You heard a part of it just then. And we bring that back in about an hour or so, maybe less than an hour. Next hour, we will bring that back. And he answered questions, Dave. I'm a friendly guy. Look at that. I'll take that to the bank. He's a friendly guy. He knows how to get open. And he knows how to read defenses. And it's a shame the quarterback the Bears have now doesn't. So, and just once they made the trade, I start doing things like this. What do you do against the Bears? What do you do against the division? So he had 8 catches for 69 yards in the Chargers' embarrassment of the Bears last season. That was like 30-13, and we don't know how the Bears got 13. So versus the NFC North for his career, Keenan Allen has 123 catches in 12 games. So I thought there'd be no math involved here, but that sounds like about 10 a game. Roughly 10 a game. Robbie, do you do math? I know you suck at roll call intros.
What's the math problem again?
Get out of here.
Okay, sorry, bye.
Against the evil North, but that's, you know, it averaging about 10 receptions a game, but that includes the Bears because he was playing against the Bears before he now plays for them. So his totals are 1,419 yards, 11.5 yards per catch, 5 TDs. So you can't help but love the numbers all around. Hub was saying earlier this hour, he's a Hall of Famer, right? And the Bears just got a Hall of Famer, and they're just, yeah, that's what the guy is. Then you look at who is delivering the ball to. And it was Justin Herbert. That's a real quarterback. The Bears don't have a Justin Herbert. They don't have one right now. They haven't for 80 years. And then you start getting, we always devolve back into this, and it's a self-inflicted wound at this point by continuing to go down this road, but I'm going to go down this road. If you're a Bears fan, maybe you don't want to listen. Top of the hour, we'll talk to Mark Potash of the Sun-Times. Maybe he'll talk about current day stuff and hope, but here's this. Justin Herbert's career passer rating is 95.7. That is good for 16th on the all-time list. That's pretty good, right? Pretty good, 16th. The highest rated Bears quarterback is Patrick Mahomes, who's second. No, wait. I'm sorry. Patrick Mahomes is not a Bears quarterback, and that's one reason we're in this horrific mess. Mahomes' quarterback rating is 103.5, a tick behind Aaron Rodgers. So we looked at other Bears, right? Other Bears, legendary quarterbacks, right? 87.6, that's the rating for Andy Dalton, who was here for about 20 minutes. But remember that number, 87.6, because right behind it is 86.6 for Nick Foles. Another legendary Bears quarterback, the guy who famously mouthed, "This isn't going to work," right? Was caught on that video. But here's what you're waiting for. I know this is what you're waiting for. The highest rated Bears quarterback of all time, who played at least three seasons, at least that I could find. Maybe it's wrong. Mitch Trubisky, 85.5. Could you do me a favor? I don't know if they could do it, but Robbie, while you're sitting there trying to figure out ways to screw up the rest of the show to keep on brand, I did not think to look up Sid Luckman's quarterback rating. Nor did I think to look up Eric Kramer's. But I looked up Mitch Trubisky, 85.5. See, look at that good trade by Ryan Pace. Good, good, good. And if you're wondering, and I know you're wondering, Jay Cutler is one spot behind Trubisky at 85.3. Jay Cutler is tied with Jacoby Brissett. The guy with all the Bears passing records is tied with Jacoby Brissett. And he ranks below arguably the worst trade in Bears history, ladies and gentlemen. Your Bears quarterback history since the 1940s and counting, because Raul Poles is done, he hasn't done the most important position yet. And for the mewling millions out there, know this. Justin Fields is worse than both Trubisky and Cutler at 82.3. Justin Fields is worse than Trubisky and Cutler. And you want this guy throwing to a Hall of Fame receiver.
Sid Luckman had a career QB rating of 75.
And that is regarded as the gold standard in Bears quarterback history. Even though we just cited quarterbacks who have higher ratings, Justin Fields has a higher rating than Sid Luckman. Sid Luckman won titles. Justin Fields has yet to see a 500 season.
Okay. I just needed to put that in perspective. Keenan Allen had a career year. He's had a great career. He's had Justin Herbert throwing to him. Before that, it was Phillip Rivers. The Bears don't have either of those guys or anything like those guys. I love the acquisition of Keenan Allen. Him opposite DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, a top 10 tight end. I love all of this. DeAndre Swift coming off a really good year. I love all of this. But if, like Hub said, the Bears could be next year's Houston Texans, it all starts with a quarterback. Justin Fields had better tools, better targets, better things around him than C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud went to the playoffs. Justin Fields went to trade rumors to be a backup quarterback. All of you Fields stands can whine, and you're going to sound like the Cutler stands, that we need to get him this, we need to get him that. At what point do you admit your quarterback can't raise the level of play of the guys around him, and that's what a great quarterback does? All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more football, more Bears, more quarterbacks with Mark Potash of the Sun-Times. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.